Today, and of course it's not something that is known to most, it's hidden in the back of the calendars, even in the missal. It's on the front part, it's in the back. It celebrated the feast of the invention or the finding of the true cross. And of course, all the readings have to do with the cross. And after Mass, I will bless you with the relic of the true cross, which is, of course, a most precious relic. When you think about it, that it is a piece of that cross on which Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for our salvation. What a wondrous thing. And it is because of this feast, of what it commemorates, that we have that. The Augusta Empress of the Roman Empire, the mother of St. Constantine the Great, St. Helena, who was a Christian, a Catholic, wanted to get as many relics of our Lord and our Lady, or St. Joseph, of the Apostles, as she could. And Constantine gave her permission, gave her ships and money, and of course that's what it takes. And so she went to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and there she got as many of the relics as she could find, because they were very, very lovingly treasured by the Catholics there, even though the persecution of the Church was very much at hand, until her son put an end to it in 313. And so the main thing that she wanted to get, but she got many other things besides, most of them are in Rome. They were also in Constantinople, but that has been taken over by the heathens, so a lot of those were transferred to Rome. So if you want to see relics and places and so forth of the life and death of Christ, do not go to Jerusalem, because that's just the geographical point. All the relics have been moved. And of course, in 70 AD, the Emperor Titus got sick and tired of the Jews and their rebellions all the time, and he destroyed Jerusalem, not leaving one stone upon the other. Jesus foretold this. And of course, in the eighth station of the way of the cross, we meditate. Do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, because those children would be put to death in 70 AD. And so all that is gone. So thank God, Saint Helena got as much as she could of those things that were hidden by the Catholics. And they were told, this is the place where Calvary was, and this is the place where the crosses are buried. The Jews had them buried because they did not want them to be used as relics. They knew very well. And so they buried them, all three crosses. That of our Lord, that of St. Dismas, and that of the bad thief, Gesmus. And so St. Helena said, well, what are we going to do? So the patriarch of Jerusalem said, let us see if our Lord will bring about a miracle with the true cross. So at that moment, there was a funeral procession, very similar to the widow of Naim, the young son who had died. There was a young man who had died. Some other versions, which are incorrect, say that there was an old woman. That's not the case at all. Probably was made up by an old woman. They always like to put themselves first. But anyway, it was a young man, and they were bringing his body on the litter, on the bier, and St. Helena says, well, let's see. If our Lord makes a miracle, so they touched one of the crosses to him, nothing happened. They touched another of the crosses to him, and nothing happened. And of course, usually God saves the best for last, so they touched the third cross to him, and he arose from the dead. And so they found the true cross. She established a shrine in Jerusalem, which of course is very famous because of the Feast of the Exaltation of the True Cross, when the Persian emperor kidnapped it for about 30 years, and then was returned. And that is the source of the Feast of the Exaltation of the True Cross on September the 14th. But this, May the 3rd, is a feast of the invention of the True Cross. And then she took a huge portion of it to her palace in Rome, which is now the Basilica of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, which was the palace of the Empress St. Helena. And she took some to Constantinople, and some were given to different of the Christian kings throughout the empire. And of course, there are those heretics and skeptics who never believe anything. You know, they'll believe it when they get there, as St. Pius of Petrosina said to the woman who said, "I don't believe in hell." You'll find out when you get there. Anyway, somebody says, if you put all the relics of the True Cross together, you would have a forest. Well, guess what? This is the atomic age. And so some mathematician, and sometimes they're useful, he put it all together, and all the pieces of the relic, including this one, and the other one that I have also, I have two of them, I'm very blessed. The nuns will have a great treasure when I die. If they put them all together, it doesn't even equal one arm of the cross. So for the skeptics, there you have it. You know, a tiny little splinter does not make a whole forest. So give me a break. So today, we celebrate this great feast. And of course, it is the first Friday of the month of May, the month of Mary. But it is also the day that was requested by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sacred Heart, to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 1600s to establish a devotion to his Sacred Heart by establishing the first Fridays of the month. And so today we honor our Lord, as we did last night also at Holy Hour and Benediction. We honor our Lord who is with us, his most Sacred Heart in the tabernacle. And it will soon be also the same Sacred Heart, because it's not limited to time and space either. He is God on the altar when I, unworthy though I may be, will consecrate the bread and the wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. It is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It is that without which we cannot live or exist. I would rather have a day without food or water or light than a day without the Eucharist. And I beseech Almighty God that I may be able to celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass every day till my last day. May he grant my request. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we continue with our